Yo, what's up all you burner stoners and potheads, and especially all you gardeners out there. This is Mr. Weedman and Big Girl with the Grow Hour. Big Girl, my brother, how the hell are you?
What's up? I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. You want to know why?
What?
It's burping the bag time with our friend Lance from Grow Bags. What's up, Lance? How the hell are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just getting off the road. Been on a bit of a marathon, but stoked to be home and stoked to be catching up with you guys. Couldn't be better timing with 420 right around the corner, right?
I love it. I'm so glad you're back on for your Burp in the Bag episode and super stoked to hear about your world cannabis around the world adventures you've been going on. And before we get started, though, we start talking, let's smoke. And we talked you into smoking this show, which I'm so stoked that you're going to smoke. So I am smoking some Peachy Keen grown by our big friend here, Big Earl. Tell him what this strain is, Big Earl.
Peachy Keen. So the main terp in that you're tasting is the papaya. That's why everybody's in love with it. Super, like, just, I don't even know what you call it. Like, it's not even, it is peachy, but it's that word's there more so to, I think, just say it's like on that spectrum. But from Secret Society Seed Co., so delicious, super papaya, the mom of the peach tank.
Papaya. You said papaya. That was papaya. I was like, that's cool, man, papaya.
I tell you what, every time I open the jar for this one, it does have that papaya-esque smell to it, and the terps are very, very fragrant. The grinding this up, too, just brings it out even more. And it smokes just so, I mean, the ring is just beautiful. It's just well done on this grow, my friend. What are you smoking on?
I am smoking on the Nightmare OG right now. I rolled up a Fat Stinky Bulldog as well.
Another great strain.
Yeah.
Another great strain. Lance, since we talked you into to smoking with us, you're dry herb vaping and you ate an edible before the show started. So what's in the dry herb?
And you heard the story behind that. But yeah, so this is Kush Mints from my buddy's outdoor full term, NorCal, you know, being that old head that I am. So yeah, Kush Mints, I finally come around. I know it's been out there for a hot minute. You know, I'm not usually so much up on the trendy triangle strains, as I call them. But, you know, I'm totally fine with like something like Forbidden Fruit. But I love strains like that because you can pull like 4 or 5% terps and still get a decent, you know, 15-16% THC and a good diversity of cannabinoids. But yeah, I thought I'd go for the Kush Mints. So
I love it.
I'm enough charge on this thing.
I'm a Kush fan. Love me some Kush. Yeah. Go ahead, Earl.
Was that the rabid hippie cut of Kush Mints? Do you know? Did they tell you which cut it was?
Yep.
Rabbit hippie.
Yep. Oh, dude, it is, man.
Yeah. I've had that one for a long time.
So explain the rabbit hippie cut.
That's just, he's actually Michigan, like around me somewhere. It's just his cut that he hunted out of Kush Mints. And that's like, typically if you get like the famous cut of Kush Mints, it's probably his. Nice. I'm sure there's other famous cuts, but instead of being like the Gelato 33, it's just called the Rabbit Hippie cut.
Look at that. That's pretty special. I like that name. So what's been going on, Lance, since the last time we had you on the show? And how have you been, man? How the fuck you been? I've seen some of your world travels. Before you tell me how you've been, you are a fucking car buff, bro. It's impressive. I don't know if we talked about this last time.
No.
But your car knowledge and your car craze is pretty fan-car-tastic. It's pretty sweet, bro. The cars that you get to go, the shows you get to see and the shit that you do, it's pretty cool, man.
That's my close friends, and you're starting to fall in that category, man. You're figuring it out. So for me, it's cars, cannabis, and cuisine. It's the three C's, man. So yeah, I'm third generation of an automotive family. Dad worked for GM. My grandpa owned a few gas stations, used to race cars, circle track. So I grew up around it. I was never big into sports as much as I was into auto sports. And, you know, growing up in NorCal, of course, we had Sears Point, Laguna Raceway, both coveted, you know, legendary tracks, kind of like Cal Speedway in Willow Springs down here, or even Buttonwillow up in the valley. So I'm definitely a gearhead. I just sold, I had a 49 International Hot Rod. You probably saw as the one with the fat white walls. And actually had some Grove Bags, kind of old school, they're magnets, but you know how the old delivery trucks had kind of the logos on the side of the doors? Mm-hmm. So I had those made them look all vintage and everything. So I had those on that. And I'd go to some shows and events with those. But yeah, just total gearhead. My son's 12. And so I started building my first car with my dad when I was about that age. So I hit up my son and I was like, you know, what do you want to do? You're kind of getting to that age. He said, I want to build a Mustang. And I was kind of stoked on that because I built three of my own Mustangs and one race car for Maximum Motorsports when I worked for that. They built race suspensions for Mustangs, you know, and so I got into that when I was younger and I hadn't owned one for a few decades. So I was like, you know, I'm keen to that. And I thought he was talking about an old one, but he wanted an S550. So that's what I got. That's what we're building. But I had to make room in the garage. So I got rid of the 49. And it's crazy. So the family was actually sad. I mean, and I'm surprised because I think I've owned, even since my son's been born in the last 12 years, he's probably seen me go through like 17, 18 cars and about 10 to 11 motorcycles. So I'm just constantly like buying, building, selling. But he was kind of attached to that 49. But I'm like, hey, if you want to make room in the garage, we got to sell one of them. We got to sell some of them. So.
Nice.
But, yeah, I
love it. So I love it because you're doing something with your son.
Yeah.
And that's the foremost, funny. Amazing.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, man. Like, you know, being of older, I'm a Gen Xer, younger Gen Xer, but, you know, my friends talk about it and I tell him, like, he's out in the garden with me too. You know, it's kind of crazy, but like, he's out there, he's done defoliating, he's done takedown with me. And, you know, once I explained to his mom that, like, you can't get high off the plant. Like, literally, you could juice an ounce of this a day and it'd be much healthier than most of this grassroots and stuff that people are juicing, all these hipsters in LA. It is extremely healthy and it does nothing until, like, Earl was talking about before the show, you got to decarb it. Like, if you don't properly dry it, cure it, decarb it when you consume it, you know, or in some sort of means or fashion, it's a harmless plant that actually has some great benefits from a health standpoint. So I definitely ended the stigma in the war on drugs with his generation. But again, that's a hobby. It is a little bit more so dad's. So yeah. We got to do the car stuff. Cause that brings back memories of me and my dad. So it's fun stuff.
Love it. Love it. Great stuff. What else has been going on? Oops. Sorry. Go ahead, Earl.
So, I was just saying it's great stuff to know too. I mean, even just little stuff like changing your oil and the little things in your car is huge to know and can save you, especially if you're trying to save a little money, you know, thousands of dollars a year if you got a couple cars. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And that's what I told him. I'm like, dude, if we're building this car, it's not me building the car that you like. So here's where he got this way. I'll tell you guys right now. This is what he handed me when he said, this is what he wanted to build. So I'll send you guys a picture. You'll see it if you follow me on IG. So literally we're building this same car that started out. But to your point, Earl, I was like, you know, you're going to help me with the suspension. You're going to help me with the brakes. You're going to help me with the engine mods. You're going to help me put the new wheels and tires on. Like, I'm going to show you how to use a torque wrench, show you how to use an impact. So I agree, man. It's definitely, and it's, you learn how to do things in a certain process, which any job or any career, you need to know how to follow steps, you know?
And at 12.
Yeah.
At 12.
This is a normal 12-year-old man. He's 5'11" and 154 pounds. Like he's bigger than me when I was like halfway through my high school career. So I'm like, he walks up to me and does a whole like, what up? And I'm like, hey, don't mistake height for muscle mass. Come on now. These are
aged. When the boy thinks he can take down the dad, exactly. I got a 29-year-old too. Oh. There's a point where they might be able to, yeah. But. You know, there's always that respect.
Yeah.
You know, exactly I mean, I remember that age, you know, son started wrestling, playing football, packed on major pounds, running track. He might have been better than me in a lot of the other sports, you know, because he, you know, at times. But you want to fight, I'll go toe to toe. Let's go put the gloves on. let's see, you know, my dad taught me a lesson that way. We had boxing gloves. And one time I was boxing, brother. He goes, oh, you want it? Okay. Let me see. And he socked me. And I was like, yo, okay, I'm good. I'll take these off now. And just turned around and walked away. I'm like, I'm good. You win.
We can't cross that bridge.
Nope, I'm good. No mas. Exactly. I did the Roberto Duran thing. No mas. I'm out.
No mas para mí. Yeah. I'm good. Todos está bien. All good, man.
Oh, shit. Nice. So I love talking about this. So, Earl, explain to the world what Burping in the Bag is.
Yeah, we've gone over it a few times, but really, we have a lot of the people that we talk to, a lot of our friends and everybody that's been on, don't have a platform like this to be able to talk about things they want to talk about. And so we've tried to like just make time for that. And it's awesome because we get to learn so much. It's awesome because we have our friends on, I get to talk about things that are important to them. And so when we originally talked a long time ago, I remember I was like, oh yeah, what would be a good subject we're going to talk about? And you brought up how you've smoked weed or consumed in some way all over the world at tons of different events, doing tons of different stuff with Grove. And it was like, man, that's a perfect topic. How cool to know all the different comparisons. So what are some of the places, you know, maybe more recently, maybe just like more memorable that Grove's taking you to? Is that where you're going to with all this, is through Grove, right? Or with Grove?
All this through Grove. Yeah. Yeah, nice. It's cool. You know, I've kind of gotten to a place in my career, especially in this community, where, you know, I only work with companies that are aligned with my culture and core values. And we've talked about this a little bit before, but like, I'm stoked to the fact that I was just on with my boss, my CEO. He's over in Tokyo, but like, working for a guy who has grown, who was a caregiver, who's a medical advocate like myself, like, that's pivotal. I've worked for the Brads and Chads, and I'm done. Like, I'm done with the guys that are trying to play the corporate card and put, you know, corporate over community or the suits over roots. Like, I just get too old for that shit, to be honest.
Fuck boys.
So yeah, man, I'm very fortunate and obviously getting a lot of stuff done, but I think, you know, we've talked about it before. It's you know, Mr. Weedman brought it up, that gorilla, like, you've got to get out there. People like in every show. I just got back from MJ Unpacked in Atlantic City and then flew down to Chadzinga, Benzinga. I know everyone jokes around the slang term. They invited me to moderate a panel. Again, that was a little sooty for me, but they're like, hey, you know, we want to be more open to those of you that endorse and support the community first. So that was an opportunity, like I said, first time I ever did that. Like, there are certain shows and events I was never keen to, but they're starting to appreciate guys like me that aren't going to come in with a button down shirt to moderate a panel. Like, I'm going to come in as I am, you know? So it's definitely taken me all over. You know, that was the trip over to Spain. It was an epic trip. You know, did Spanibus obviously for a week. That's really become, you know, we talk about Weed Week in other markets, but that has become like the Weed Week of Europe. So, you know, I'll usually fly in the start of the week. There's something going on every night. It might be, you know, Masters of Rosin or, you know, some sort of donut hole contest or competition. Auto Flower World Cup, which was another absolute banger this year. You know, I, being biased, I'm a regs guy. I'm not much into autos and femmes, but that is such a thing over there in Europe. And those guys brought some absolute fire. Matter of fact, one of our friends, Fuego Buds, she's a rock star grower in her own right, German. She took first place in Indica and second place in Sativa using Terplock, using Grove bags. And those are the kind of people we like to sponsor and support.
Yeah.
So it's taken me all over, man. But even that trip, we went up the coast into Costa Brava, which is kind of this region, Catalonia region, north of Barcelona, south of the France border. And we're in a little town called Llerona. In this local hydro shop that's one of the biggest in the country, came up and hosted us, and we did paella and all these traditional dishes. And I stopped, man, because I don't care what your age is or what your experience or your background, like, you need to remain humble. And it's situations like that where I'm like, I am so fortunate to be here. Like, literally, I was in this mansion up on this hill that I got invited to do this whole documentary with a bunch of these influencers from Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, and Spain. And so I was one of the only two gringos that were in the group. And thankfully, I speak enough Spanish. But we're up on the hill, and literally, dude, we're across the hill. And you probably saw this, Weed Man. We're across the hill from one of the castles from Game of Thrones. And I'm like, what other community could I be a part of? What other industry could I be servicing that would take me to a place like that? Or to Tel Aviv in Israel, or to Sydney in Australia. I mean, Bangkok, Thailand last year. So very fortunate. And all those places are very special and unique, and all of them have their own unique culture to this plant. And we've talked about it before, but it really is universal, man. It's food, it's music, and it's flower. And so it's definitely been, it's been epic. It's been a good ride for sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
That is awesome.
Definitely.
The most unique place, or the most unique event you've been to since your world travels?
Man, the most unique place, this might surprise you guys. I've been to some, like, Santiago, Chile, and like I said, rooftops of Tel Aviv, Israel for weed. One of the most unique and most memorable was my first time to, actually, this is what I brought back as a keepsake. but Mardi Gras, which takes place in a little hippie town called Nimbin, which is about 45 minutes inland from the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. So you have Queensland and New South Wales, so it's kind of right on the border, New England. And there's a place called the Hemp Embassy. Shout out to those guys. It's a bunch of old heads from, you know, back in the 60s that moved out of the big city to the rural. And they do this event every year, and it's absolutely epic. It is just like next level, and be able to go in and consume local flower that's grown in the hills. It literally, you guys, it was like going home to NorCal. You had the hippie heads, you had the hip necks, you had drum circles, you had bong tossing, the dreads. I mean, it felt like home, except an Aussie accent. And so it was so cool to be on the other side of the world, but to have that same good vibes and solid energy and great flower and food to consume along with it. And I don't know, that was one of the most epic. And I wrote a long form article on it. Unfortunately, when Weed Maps updated their site, they didn't transfer over the article. I've always thought about rewriting it, but that was definitely one of the most memorable, I'd have to say.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Shout out to all our friends in Australia.
Yeah,
we got a lot of them. Shout out to all of our friends out there. A lot of home growers that love big girls genetics out there.
Yeah, 100%.
What you brought up vibes. Where were the vibes like top notch? Was there somewhere that surprised you that was like, wow?
Gosh, yeah. Where I'd be most surprised about the vibes. This is going to sound a little cliche too, because it's probably one of the most conservative countries and regions, but the UK, you know, it's my, in my family being from there, it's weird. Cause I kind of feel like I'm going home, and maybe it's just the food or the whatever, but I just remember we were at a summer social, which is this event that takes place in the Midlands, just south of Bista. And it's on a private farm. And these guys produce some of the greatest ornamental flowers in the area. And they allow the hosting of this event. Big sponsors like Autopot and BioBiz and some of the names you guys know, they sponsor it. But it's what they call a trade only. So it's only business folks, right? Rather you come from head shop, smoke shop, ancillary, whatever. And I just remember hanging out. And you have all these English blokes that you guys know the accent, you know the high tea and all the cliche. And they were just like, they had their own style, man, like the jumpsuits and all. I mean, it's just like you get the trapper crowd that comes in. And I just remember hanging out with one guy, and my buddy's like, you got to meet my friend, runs mills out there. He's like, you got to meet my buddy. He's like a world renowned grower. He's won like 3 years in a row of growing the biggest pumpkins recorded in that side of the world. And then he took out his buds and showed me. And there are some of the biggest, fattest buds. And it was just so terpy and so flavorful. And I literally blurted out, I'm like, this is the best flower I've smoked on this continent, like literally on this island. Yeah. I'm like, this stuff is absolute fire. And he's like, and I'm growing this in my basement. I'm like, dude, if we could take you and put you in like a Dutch greenhouse environment, imagine what you'd be putting out, you know? So it was good vibes, and it's just kind of a unique experience. Cause again, it reminds you that just like music, just like food, it's kind of a common denominator. So you get a group like that together, and you have a stereotype of a certain group or a certain culture. And then just to be like, all these guys are all about good vibes and good bud too, you know? Yeah. So that was one where I was definitely surprised about the vibes. There's other places you guys know, like South America, all killer vibes. Australia, like we were talking about. Spain, no-brainer. The Netherlands, no-brainer. Germany, great vibes. But that was a unique one. We're being in a very conservative country like England and seeing some phenomenal flower.
I was there in 2015. I got to go out there and sell beer with the brewery I was working for and spent eight days out there, and the UK won. My liver was dying. My lungs, there's a lot of beer fucking drinking from the time you get off that plane to the time you leave. And I didn't want to look at beer for a hot minute because everybody drinks pints in the morning, pints for lunch, and pints for dinner, and pints for your snack. It's pints all day. And ain't little pints. These are
pints, imperial legit. Pints.
Yes, they are the UK pint. I had a phenomenal time, met some fucking phenomenal people, got some homegrown weed in 2015. And because we needed it, I needed some weed. The guy, all the Lagunitas guys who I was with, they all needed weed. And it's not the best weed I ever smoked, but it definitely wasn't the most shittiest weed I ever smoked. It was good weed.
Yep. Yeah. And there's a lot of, they call them bunker grows out there. And I mean, obviously you guys probably seen a few, you know, rather be a, you know, Quentin Tarantino movie, or maybe it's Guy Ritchie, I think, that's done a few movies, right? But they literally have these bunkers underground, and I props to them for being able to do what they do in the situation they're in. To your point, is the most absolute fire effort. No, I'm still biased, and you guys know where my heart is, but you know, it's impressive all the same.
I mean, on the Chronicles, the We Met 420 Chronicles, our international section segment of the show, I've probably read about 10 articles of bust in the UK, like big grows, not small, not like, you know, little 10 plants. I'm talking about like 1500 to 5,000 plants.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew a guy, I ran into a guy. He's one of the bigger guys underground, just south of Birmingham, second largest city in England. And, he's got three phase, man. Like he was telling me how many plants and how many lights he's running. I was like, oh my gosh, like, how are you doing that in this market? You know,
one of my most favorite breeders, Earl, we've had on the show is from the UK.
Yeah.
Trichome Jungle. He's the man. You know, he is his not only just his genetics, but also his jewelry making skills too is pretty fire too. Nice. Really good dude. Check him out. He's phenomenal. Really cool motherfucker too.
So. Well, they kind of do their own thing out there, man. Like I've never messed with bananas, and they're all about the bananas and some of these really unique cuts out there that, you know, you have stuff going on in the States. You have a lot of stuff going on in the West Coast, obviously. Then you have what's going on over in Spain and the Netherlands, right? So you have all the Royal Queens and Sensis and, you know, DNA and all the rest of them. But then you kind of got the UK that's kind of on their own page. I mean, they import some stuff, but they do some fun crossing out there too. And it's just what they like. It's like whatever they like. Like, actually, good example. So just shout out to my boys. So Calipo, this is Calipo, which, gosh, Arc Farms, he's been around, I don't know how long now, for several years. And I love him, my buddy Spirit. We're brothers from another mother, and he is all about terps. He's constantly just breed, but going for the best terps, not for the loudest or highest THC, but the most terps. So again, they kind of go beat of their own drum, you know, and props to them for doing that. So
sweet.
I definitely like seeds from Europe. It's a little different now, but for a little while, a lot of the American seeds were super similar. You know, like it was like all the same clones circulating, and maybe a different dad or usually a different dad. But a lot of times with the reversals, exact same moms and exact same clones getting hit with a lot of these crosses.
True.
Out in Europe, there's a lot of different places, really, but the terps are all, like you said, it's all about the terps. You don't get the pictures sometimes, but the flavor is always there.
Exactly true.
You talked about some places that had great vibe. What's a place that is different than what we might think? Where is a place that, you know, we might say, I don't know, we'd have that much fun there. We're going to have a ton of fun there. And it was a surprising to you.
I think surprising to me, Santiago, Chile. They do an expo weed down there. And, you know, Mary Jane's been a part of the culture in LATAM for centuries, right? I mean, a lot of the stuff that they've got their own land race, respectfully. And I mean, we've been smoking stuff, you know, Acapulco Gold and some of the browns and stuff. There's some great cultivars that have always come, you know, from south of the border. It was a unique, like, I was like, I didn't know what to expect. You know, you kind of, am I going into like a third world country kind of setting here? Is it going to be, you know, kind of sketch? And again, you know, with Expo Weed, like a lot of these, and that's one thing I don't think the States get, man. And I don't, not even like a High Times, but the States, the events here, they're too focused on business. Like you go to places like Latin America, Australia, all across Europe, a lot of the events and trade shows I go to, they start out as protestivals. So they started out for medical patients or for people who just want legalization in general, but they started out with their core focus on the community. And then it kind of worked its way into more of the you know, commerce, if you will. Spanibus is a good example. We just saw that's the 20-year anniversary this year of Spanibus. Obviously, it took a little time off for the Rona, but cumulatively, they've done it 20 years. And that was one that, you know, it started out with the community and then worked its way into commerce. And even then, your point, Earl, like 21%, I got a little OCD, so I do math and calculations on stuff. Out of all the boosts, 21% are genetics. So if you think about it, genetics are really, let's go back, even I'll pick on back home. Emerald Cup, what it used to be before Prop 64, right? Prop 215 back in the med days. So that was 96 to 2016. Emerald Cup. The reason why we all went to that was you had some of the greatest geneticists and growers that would come out of the triangle down off the hill, as we say, in a little town called Santa Rosa, only an hour north of SF, right? But like 4-hour drive if you come from Trinity County. And they come down and they bring their latest gens. And the crazy part was, it was almost like if you guys, I'll give a gearhead reference. You probably heard this before. Win on Sunday, sell on Monday, right? What does that mean? If you're rooting for Ford and they're the ones who cross the line first on Sunday, I want that car. I'm going to go buy that Mustang GT on Monday. It was the same thing with Emerald Cup. Like literally they had announced the winner. I remember this even more recently, like Alien Labs was just some absolute fire coming out of that camp. Still does. But like I remember several years ago, again, before adult use wins just med, and literally you'd hear who the winner was, Alien Labs take first place, and there'd be a line like 100 people deep at that booth at that time. And so those are the events that I think are the ones who continue to be successful because they didn't go down the path of the suits versus the roots. And those are ones that are thriving and growing, like total tangent, but Mary Jane. I'm going out to Mary Jane in June. That's going to be the second largest show to Spanibus in Europe. Mary Jane's in Berlin, right? So it's in Northern Europe. Yeah. And they moved Dagmar. She rocks. She's been doing it for several years as well. She moved from East Berlin to West Berlin to the, what translates as summer park, essentially. That show is growing. I want to say the footprint's about 3 or 4x what it's been for the last several years. And why? Because she's always put the community first. That event's always been about the community. And then guys like me come in and go, hey, I got an easier way for you to cure your bud. You know, try this out. You'll never go back to glass. And because I'm a grower and they trust someone who's a grower, especially a kid from California, like we have great conversations. You don't have a Chad coming in and being like, hey, this is what you have to do. And this is how it has to be. And this is written. Like, no, that's not that kind of event or show. So yeah, that was a surprise for me was going down to South America. But it was so welcoming too, because they had obviously the flower factor. They had live music, which was absolutely phenomenal. Some great live reggaeton and such. And then the food, which again, to me, there's nothing I won't eat on the road. If they can eat it, so can I. So, I mean, I was eating some really unique dishes there and just, it was what I thought would be not so great of vibes ended up being phenomenal vibes.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I love it.
A lot of root food there. I think I ate, there's like a little Chilean booth that I used to eat at the Eastern Market. And it was a lot of like root foods. And it was so freaking good.
Chilean and Peruvian food, which most Americans don't even know where Peru is.
I've had some Peruvian food from some people in Florida. Some homemade Peruvian food that was absolutely fucking out of this world. Like the flavors were just like amazing. Same. Like stuff I didn't even know I was eating. I'm like, this is just, I want more.
Exactly true.
Yeah. This is why I love burping in the bag so much. Cause I just get to sit back and listen and learn and get so fucking high and just until it's my turn to ask something. But I mean, I try to give more of these questions to Big Earl than me. Cause I, this is like, I do this so much and I love doing it, but I also love sitting and getting high and learning and just listening. Oh, yeah. So I do enough talking, says my wife. So, so here's something. So Big Earl, we've had a person on the show three times now. His name is Wolfman Jack, as I call him. And he's taught the world on how to make hash on our show. And we did a beginning phase of hash. He showed how to fresh press and cure and do it all live on YouTube. It was amazing. Sick. And then we had him and Terpfine on for a roundtable discussion about hash. Sick. Phenomenal. Three phenomenal episodes. We his hash, I've gotten to try it now. Temple Balls, hat, Wolfman Jack, amazing. When you come to Chicago, or if you ever go to Ann Arbor area, Michigan, yeah, either I'll meet you or Big Earl will meet you with some stuff. Because what Wolfman is making here for us is absolutely spectacular. A pure master. And he would probably hate that I called him that, because he probably is still learning and growing. You don't call yourself that if you're trying to become one, because that's all I see this guy do. Washing, 14 hours working, making his trade, becoming a perfectionist. And he does a very good job of it. It's fucking terpy and just delicious. So we have to get you some, because this next question is, where's the best hash at that you've had around these tours? Now, I don't know if you've been to Morocco and had some old school hash yet. I don't know if you've been to Pakistan or Afghanistan or anything like that. But where have you gone? Because the hash here in America now, in some states that some people are making, some of the underground hash I've been getting has been fucking unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. Yeah. Michigan hash right now, to me, what they're doing out there is fucking nuts.
Even I heard that out west here. I was surprised. I have been hearing, and even the Northeast, man, some guys up in Maine and Vermont. I'm like, really? And these guys are so passionate. They get the flower, they run the basement grow all season. Mm-hmm. And then some of it goes to fresh, some of it goes to squish. They're very methodical. It's not too different than how we were back in the day. I know some of the guys are still doing it, but up on the hill, We would sell and stash, right? Sell 50%, stash 50%. So you'd pay off your trimmers, you'd pay off your runners, and then the other half you'd save for, first quarter next year, like all the way up into 420, because you get more dollar because everyone else is flooding the market because everyone was growing outdoors. So like, it's cool that, you have these kind of microcosms of individuals throughout the country that are doing their own thing, but putting out absolute fire. And that is one thing I've been impressed with. To your point, I know where I like to go for the best stuff, but you're really surprised when you go to other parts of the world. And I'd say for this, I haven't been. Ed Rosenthal has invited me on a trip before over to Afghanistan. I know that Kevin Jodry, another great friend, old head from the Hill, he just did a tour over there and had some great, great stories. I haven't been able to go to the east side over there. So I mainly focus on the west side. The first east I go is typically, to be honest, is like Czechia, like the Czech Republic, Prague for CannaFest. But having said that, I am fortunate that a lot of those guys come to Spain. So again, that's why, I joke around and say, some of the guys in the industry, they go to MJ Biz. And I'm like, okay, yeah, well, if that's a Super Bowl, then Spanibus is FIFA World Cup. And so you do have guys that are coming from Pakistan, from Afghanistan, from Israel, from Italy, from France, from Ireland. Like, yeah, these guys from all over the place, as far as South America, and they're bringing their prizes with them. So that's where I've definitely tasted the best hash, but I'll tell you one place where I'm a regular with hash every time I go to this town, just cause I don't know, there's just something about it, is Amsterdam. It's actually Dam is where I consume the best hash on the regular. And I am a sucker, cause fat kids love cake. I'm a sucker for space cakes, man. It is so fun. Like I was telling you guys, I take a bit of a break, cause you can only do so many social clubs and so many joints over a 9-day duration. So I was coming back with something that's just all congested and jacked up from Europe. And I converted over to edibles, which I love anyway. They're great for on the road. And I travel around the world with them. Never have to worry. They're in there with my Sour Patch Kids, my munchie grub, right?
Yeah, that's the way I do it. Put it right in the Sour Patch Kid bag. If you ain't doing that, you ain't traveling that much.
For the win. But man, I'll tell you, I have one of those space cakes over there, and just walk the canals and just go from meeting to meeting. And I'm just on cloud nine, because there's something about ingesting hash. I mean, smoking, it's very unique too. It's a very, very unique focus. Like, I love how it's very front and center. It's like right there. It's heady, not full on like super haze heady, but it's plenty heady. But you consume it, and again, it's the same thing. It's a whole different kind of focus as far as the high goes. So,
What's that? Did you get to try that new hash they're making out in Spain? What is it called? It begins with a P. Damn it, I can't remember off the top of my tongue. It begins with a P. It's this new hash style they're making out in Spain. Damn it, I can't remember. I'm surprised you didn't hear about it out there. I'll look it up and send it to you. It's a new hash that you can only find it in Spain and in Florida. There's one cultivator making it. I'll look it up when you're talking on the next couple of things. Because
definitely look it up.
But what's the flower? Where's your flower situation at? I mean, where was like some of the flower you've been traveling a lot? Where's been that tight flower you've been getting, that like ooh la la flower?
Man, that's a tough one. Besides at home, I'm trying to think. You know, there's some good stuff. Again, last time I was in Europe, there's some decent stuff I tasted. A few things, obviously, more recently in Florida.
Is there a strain that stands out? Like a...
You know, again, not being big on the new stuff, but there wasn't really anything... No, it hasn't really been anything as of late that stood out. I got to tell you, the more recent runs, like I'm still like RS25, I don't think got enough shelf time, personally. You know, not to be all into the fruity stuff. You guys know, I'm not about the trendy. Another one that is still thankfully floating around and being crossed, GMO. My gosh, for the win. Like the gas on that is just like, oh man. And the flavors.
So raunchy and
it's just dirty.
It's like,
it is. It's just, it's so earthy, it's just man. It's like this myrcene, pinene, you know, not as much of the lemony, not as much as the straight GMO.
Have you had the straight GMO, Mr. Weedman?
I've had some crosses and some people that have given me some nugs of GMO, you know. I mean, but I want something like the real. Like I've had someone that gave me a nug of it. It wasn't cured. It didn't smell like everybody says. So I've had it. There's been some dispensary ones I won't even dare try. It's just like, meh. I want someone to give me some like true. Actually, yes. My boy Bob Exotics here had a I see him at all the local underground events. Shout out Bob Exotics. Your hash is spectacular too. He had some GMO and he rolled a big fat joint of it. And he goes, I said, I haven't had like true, like real legit GMO. And I didn't get to smoke like the whole joint and enjoy it myself to really get, but I got to hit the joint a few times. It was great.
Right.
I would have liked to have seen the flower, the bud. Got to smell it out of the jar. Got to grind it up myself. Get, you know that. Earl, I know you'll make it. You'll grow it one day for me, and I know I'll get to smoke it.
Some out of tissue culture.
Yeah. See, that's for the win. Deep roots for the win. Deep roots for the win.
That's a trick.
The name of that hash now that's coming out of Spain is called Pitella. Pitella. It's a new style. That's been out for a few years, like a year and a half now. So, I'll send it to you, but like I said,
I'm curious because that didn't cross my path, but I will get Scott, my buddy who's out there. He works for us, but he's been out there for.
I've heard some about it. I've read it on the show a couple times, you know, international news kind of thing. And I haven't tried to try it yet. My brother lives in Florida and he knows I told him where dispensary it's at and he still hasn't sent me any rat, you know, so.
He's busy soaking up the rays.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, get the fuck out of here. Send me this. I asked you. You asked me to send you edibles every once in a while. I said, yeah, edibles. Send me this fucking hash. I want to try it.
For sure, man. Sure.
But next time you go out to Spain, you'll have to see. You'll have to look for it.
I will.
Pitella.
I'll go back. I will say so. Outside of home, Australia. That was the biggest surprise. Is some straight fire. It's been a few years, but I had some straight up Gen Geek. These guys knew I was at. None of the list, your Aussie listeners might know this group. So there's a group called Bliss and Esso, rap group, Australian rap group. And they're huge down under. And their DJ is DJ Ism. And he's a friend of the crew I run with down there. So my buddies decided to throw him a birthday party at this sick B&B in Sydney. And so we're hanging out. And here I am, the kid from Cal. And they're like, hey, you got to meet our grower. You got to meet our grower. And I'm like, okay, I hadn't heard that before. This dude comes in, super geek. He brings a box. I wish I had an example. So just imagine, you know, like this is a box of like a Rolodex box, right? So little cards. And so he comes in with the box. He's all, you know, the guy's asked me to share some of my, my flower with you. And I'm like, that'd be great. So we literally sit down, like everyone just kind of like parts ways and just spreads. And we're sitting down. And he opens it up and he literally has like these 3x5 cards and he brought me a gram of each genetic and there was 20 of them total approximately. And he went through, here's all my California genetics. Here's all my Spain genetics. Here's all my Dutch genetics. here's all my South American genetic. And I was just like, he had a few, I think I had one or two, he had a Durban and a Swahili in there too. So I had a few South African land race. Nug by nug, we went through and I was like, this is so sick that this dude's a passion. And he grew fire. He was a straight up scientist. Like this guy, you could tell was like super geek, man. Like he just, he's one of those guys that like, like OCD at its finest, you know, just wants it to be the best it can possibly be. And then the fact that he kept all of them in perfect preservation, I mean, because it was obviously a few seasons, you know, when you're indoor, you can only, it's not like my buddies up north that, you know, oh, that acre's just, you know, 60 test cultivars. Like they're really restricted, but he had some straight fire, man. And he had some great genetics. So it was
love
cool.
It. That's kind of awesome. Fun when you get some kind of special like that.
Oh yeah, he made me feel super special. I mean, everywhere I go, it's so funny because people are just so respectful and so accommodating. That's one thing I'll say. No matter where you go, it's like open arms. And again, it goes back to the, you know, it's our community, you guys. Like it's not the California community, it's not the Illinois community, it's not the Florida community. It's this community that's global and just happens to have different accents and maybe interests, but it all ties it together. So
yeah, 100%. That's why I love it. When I was, I went to Dubrovnik and I smelt it like four blocks away, and I hadn't had smoked flower in like 4 or 5 days because we were traveling, and I was in my edibles minced. When I flew, I had everything in, you know, regular candy bags, shampoo bottle. I had tincture. I had a Sazerac up to put in my drinks and my shampoo bottle. I mean, I had enough. I mean, but I wanted flower. And all of a sudden, I'm with Mrs. Weedman, and we're walking from this area. We're watching the sun go down. I'm like, she's like, you smell that? I'm like, I smelled that fucking three blocks ago. She's like, go find it. And it was two waiters fucking at the top of the stairs sitting out back in the fucking restaurant. I had a fucking weed shirt on, a green cross with all the different like sayings on it. I said, look, I'm smoking, please. And they're like, I didn't know what the fuck to say. I didn't speak their language. So I was like, what the fuck, you know? So they're like, you want some? They're like, I'm like, yeah. And I said, I got these fucking edibles. I'm like, you'll be like trying to just fucking say you'll be spaced out if you eat this. They're like, seriously? I'm like, don't eat. Like, they were like 2 milligram mints. I'm like, I gave them like 10 each. I'm like, just take fucking 10. And I got high and they're like, we grow this here. This is ours. I'm like, whoa. Wow. And it was a kush because they saw my fucking kush on the fucking shirt and they pointed I'm like, fuck yeah. So when you get that experience, when you could smoke, it's like when you could smoke weed with people around the world, if you're somewhere and you meet people that from the community, you know, stoner burners, potheads, as I call them, just, you know, and they know, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo,
and that's what I like about the social clubs, man. You're in a social club and, you know, I'm some middle-aged white guy, you know? But I'm hanging out next to some, you know, 25-year-old trapper that he's all about it too. And we start geeking out on, you know, I love pre-98 Bubba is kind of my stage. Oh, I love OG Kush. Oh my God, you know, and it is, man. It's a universal language. And I think that's where it does break those barriers.
So since you've traveled so much, where the fuck did you get the most high besides home? We can always get high. That doesn't count. I'm talking about your travels. Like where have you been the most high?
The sneaky edible.
You ate too many cakes.
one time I was working for a company in this space, and I won't say who, but definitely corporate vibe, and the CEO was definitely a square, and I did have a space cake one time. We were staying, kind of fun fact about Amsterdam, like, you know, I like to stay more in a home environment because I like to find somewhere that has a patio or a balcony or somewhere, you know, where you can rip and you don't have to worry about the hotels coming in, going out. They're always watching you and cameras. And so the fun fact about Amsterdam, I think it's the same in Rotterdam and The Hague as well, but they have Airbnbs, but you can only rent out your space for the amount of time that you can go on holiday. So average Europeans, they get 6 weeks holiday when you include like bankers' holidays, country holidays, federal holidays, and then your time off. And so we found this sick B&B that was on one of the more desirable canals, really nice little community. And the crazy thing that they don't tell you too, when you actually stay at the homes in that city, the stairs are like this. So the rule for domestic construction is like, it's a 2-1-2-1-2. So you notice the stairs are like this, like most of us can climb them. There back in the day, it was 1-1-1. So you'll be standing, like you can reach out your arm to a stair in front of you, you have to step up. It's almost like coming out of the hull of a ship, right? So I had one of those space cakes, and man, I had not eaten anything, and I had to get back on a call with this with my CEO dude, and I'm like climbing these stairs trying to get up, and finally get on. And I'm like, oh my god, how am I gonna do this call? And all I remember saying is like, oh, I'm sorry, the jet lag. Like fully blamed on being awake for 24 hours. That was high, but no, super high. One of the highest times, and I already gave it away, man. Sorry. But the DJ isn't partying in Sydney at that pad. Like we had this, it was epic. And shout out to my buddy, Nathan, Nathan White. He was formerly with Magical Butter. He did a lot of their international stuff. He's up in Rockhampton up in Queensland. And he's the one who facilitated that trip. He picked me up in a 1975 Combi, a VW bus that he swapped out, put in a late model V6 aluminum block GM motor. So the thing ripped, had a sound system in it, is painted cobalt blue and white, two-tone, had it all magical buttered out. And he picks me up in Brizzy, and I'm like, man, and we got a chase car behind us. And the first place that we stop is on the Gold Coast, go up to a 32nd floor of this building. He literally drops me off. He's like, go in, say that you're with the white party. Go in, say I'm with the white party. Dude gives me a key, points me at the elevator, go up. I'm on the 32nd floor. And the Pacific Ocean is on one side, and then the other side is the lagoon and Gold Coast. Mm. And the whole crew comes up. He hired a 5-star Michelin chef to make infused meals. Like, this is the stuff, like, dude, I need to write a book about. Like, just stuff, yeah. like, I don't care, again, what industry you're in, what job you have. Like, how fortunate would you be to be doing this, even if you worked for a brewery or if you, you know? And so this guy made... everything he infused, it was always like a topping, right? So it was like he did like, you know, duck with a reduction and the reduction was infused. Or he did a strawberry shortcake and the drizzle was infused. So if there's people who wanted to smoke their high and didn't love edibles like me, that's fine. And man, he did the last night of this tour. We started in Brisbane. We ended in Sydney. That's 1,000 kilometers, 600 miles. At one point doing like $1.50 in the Combi, which is like 90 miles per hour US, insane. But we're at that party and I ate just way too much of his infused and I was just done. And you guys, I was so ripped. I don't even know whose room I went and crashed out in, but I went and crashed out in the room and I didn't wake up for 6 hours. And I woke up to some guy throwing up in the bathroom that was next to the room. And all my guys are like, dude, we thought you went out and hit the clubs without us. I'm like, hit the clubs, dude. I hit the sack. I got fucking knocked, man. Because, you know, they don't know what percentage and what, like, it's not even a legal market, right? I mean, like, they don't know. Like, they're right. Dude hooked him up with one flower in, you know, when we were up in Gold Coast, but then he's getting flower from some other dude in Sydney. Like, he's going probably from 15 to 25% potency, who knows? And he's trying to do the math and he's probably high when he's doing it anyway as a cannabis chef. I was done, dude. And I'm thankful that I was home, so to speak, right?
Right. At least you found a bed. You
know? Yeah, I found a bed. It wasn't my bed, but I found a bed. It was good times.
Where don't you want to go back to? Is there a place out there? Because it's all been good places so far. Is there a place out there that didn't pass the test?
There's a place that I don't want to go. And I've been avoiding it for a decade. I'm going to try to continue avoiding it as long as possible. And it's actually here in the US and it's called New York.
I'm not going to take offense to it because I was raised in the Bronx, New York, but I'm not going to take offense to it at all. But their fucking weed laws and all the shit that's going on in there is fucking shit show. Complete shit show. I'm not talking about the underground. No. I'm just talking about the legal market. No. Is a complete fucking shit show. They fucked that whole market up. Every farmer's about to go. I won't even say anymore. I can go on fucking rant on this. But go ahead. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, 100%. And again, it might be, and it's not East Coast, West Coast. I'm not trying to pull a Tupac Biggie out of this conversation, but I mean, just something about it, man. Like the few times I went over there, I'm like, everyone's fucking loud and they're honking their horns and they're, you know, it's just kind of, it's so in your face and so intense. And I get the passion and I've learned to appreciate it. And I have some New Yorker friends I love. But to your point, the way that that market's been to date, the way that that market's been after legalization, like, what the fuck? Like, it's another socialist state, just like California. You know, it's the same politics, different accent, right?
So that's for sure.
did you not learn any lesson from what we fucked up here? Like, so, yeah. It's like, dude, you guys, it's like Oklahoma and Oregon. Oregon, what was it, third state for adult use, right? Colorado, Washington, Oregon, right? Boom, boom, boom. These all these dominoes within a year. And Washington's like, well, we're different than Colorado, so we're going to, you know, kind of just absorb medical into your adult use program. Like, what? Like, medical patients and rec patients are two different patients. Like, I have friends that do need 1,000 milligrams because of their grand mal seizures, right? So Colorado did it right. They'll exempt certain taxes for the medical patients. They'll allow 1,000 milligram dosage. None of the drama, none of the bullshit, right? That's medical. And then Colorado's like, here's rec. Here's your 100 milligram cap on your chocolate bars, 10 milligram intervals, blah, 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 blah. Here's your cap on your whatever, right? Washington's like, oh, you guys wanted weed. Everyone just wanted weed anyway. It's not really medical. We'll just fold it into
47% tax, you fuckers.
And non-vertical integration, this church and state. Like, I want to sell what I grow, man. You know, I always have. I always will. So that's Washington. And then Oregon, limitless license. One of the greediest things a government can do. Okay, everyone give us our money and you guys figure out who the best is. Like, that is so self-serving. They really, and I'm not saying you don't need to run an oligopoly like Arizona and Florida did. Don't get me started on their model. But like, dude, Oregon saturated the market. They saw it turned upside down. Everyone started hot cropping with hemp around the circle and weed in the middle and shipping it back east, just like we were doing for years out here. Then Oklahoma comes along and does the same thing. You get a license. You get a $2,500
cultivation, 2,200 fucking dispensaries, and only fucking 300,000 med cards. That doesn't equate at all.
None of that math. None of that math. That's some crazy.
That's an equation for failure, right? Yeah,
exactly true, man. I mean, I didn't get as far as
10,000 milligram edibles of the shittiest distillate you could fucking buy. I mean, just what do you do? Why? I can eat 10,000 milligram if it's the lowest grade distillate you're going to get in the market. I mean, I love Oklahoma. I've sold weed out there. I love Tulsa. It's got a big place in my heart.
Close to Oklahoma City too, man.
OKC, and we got some homies and we got some good homie fucking people, right, Big Earl, that are just, they make good weed. It just gets sucked up by all the shit.
Yeah, there's like Russ Brandon and the guy. There's some guys that are doing it right down there. And then there's just that market saturation and the mafias that came in. And yeah, so I don't know. It's just New York. I think I'd just go there and be disappointed. And it does suck because, like you said, weed, man, like I've got friends. I got a buddy, man, he had a dispensary before dispensaries existed. I remember he'd show me pictures, give me a tour as soon as he got packs, and he literally had his own little dispensary. He had 3 shelves, 4 strains per shelf, and that was his operation. And the dude's been doing underground stuff for years, and he's still slinging. And props to those guys that are still making it work, but it's such an upside down market. I think I'd just go out there and get upset. And I don't like being, you guys know I'm a positive vibe guy. So hopefully they'll figure it out. Then I'll visit once they do.
Good. Yeah. What are some of the flavors popular in the other places we don't see here in the US that you've seen?
Hazes.
Super actually, come hang out with Big Earl and I. Big Earl's got nothing but hazes right now.
Really?
Across super fucking haze city right now. My closet's filled with like GG4 crossed with haze, fucking haze after haze after haze. It's been a wonderful GG4? Experience with the haze. Okay. Yeah.
There's a few I need to test there. There's a few, Earl, that you probably have that I'd love to test. Yeah, I don't normally run the hazes. I did an experimental run. It was an F1 run for Coastal Seed Co. for my buddy Peter out at Future Cannabis Project. Shout out to him. He needed 4 growers and he picked me because of my geographical. One of the guys was in San Diego, so more coastal. One of the guys is up in the mountains. So they really wanted to give this thing a run for its money. I did full term outdoor. Two of the guys did mix. I think one guy did indoor. But that thing was a haze. And that thing, the way it expressed, because I'm all natural and, you know, I don't get it all in. Google grows and crap like that, but I do all organic and stuff. And the way that thing expresses is so skinny and lengthy, and you know that double razor, you know, fan leaf that those hazes have and stuff. Those are crazy, but yes, that is so. Over in Europe, I mean, you do still find some of the original, like lemon haze. Headband is still out there on the shelves, but even some of the more unique, like, you know, almost more like your kind of medical, like your Stevie Wonders and your Harlequins and, you know, just these really oddball cultivars that you just don't see on shelves much here anymore, you know? So that's why I'd say the most chance. Everywhere else is trying to kind of, I don't want to say copy, but everyone else is following the trends. So you go to the Latin markets and if you get with the right family, you can find those unique cultivars. But most of the guys that are really turning are turning stuff that they're getting from up here or from over in Spain, you know? Same with APAC. APAC is, you know, Asian Pacific. Thailand had some really great California genetics that are grown in that area, which surprised me because Thai stick, you know, it's not just the way you consume, it's what you consume. And there are some guys that are doing traditional Thai stick over there, super dope too. So, but yeah, there's more of a nod to land race, Durban Poison in South Africa. Like you still find stuff that isn't been backbred sent, you know, for centuries and crossbred with all this trendy shit, you know? I think that's a problem that we have is sometimes there's just too much crossing, and that's why I love going retro. Like, so you guys know what's coming off the hill this year, this season, it started happening a little bit last season, Sour D crosses. Like there's more Sour D crosses coming in. There's more Blue Diamond coming in, which we saw some of those crosses in the tens. They're starting to come back again. A lot of guys are kind of going back to the roots and going, that really worked well. Like that was a high yield, low maintenance. That was a tall, that was a squatty, you know, whatever it is that they loved about that. They're like, you know, I'm going to cross this with a GMO or to Earl's by a GG4, like pull something a little more modern, maybe even a Runtz, as played out as it is, and cross out with something a little old school that you know is reliable. So again, yeah, that's kind of, I'd say the most unique is still in Europe because a lot of it's just throwback and more land race. So
sweet.
Those crosses are so nice with a lot of the more popular strains because they're like an airier flower usually, like a little bit larger, but a little bit fluffier, a little bit more airy.
It is fluffier, larfier, dare you say. I mean, right? It's not this dense. Real dense.
Earl and I have this talk. Earl, you and I have this talk all the time about the fluffiness, like of just some of those strains that you grew. And I'm just like, dude, they're just so, they're alive when you grind it up. And when you put it, he goes, they move around when you put them on your tray. Yeah, they're so airy and just fragrant too.
When they're so dense, there's a couple of things. For the worst thing when they're so dense is botrytis and molds and shit at the end. When you grow these giant flowers and they're real dense, like if you're pushing a big ass LED and you're growing fucking colas and they're super dense, then like dealing with mold's a pain in the ass.
Outdoor too, man. That same thing. Like I don't want dense stack because, you know, all of a sudden, heaven forbid the marine layer gets to me heavy or, you know, we get some random rain or get extreme heat. Like I was just looking at I document and take notes on all my crops and it was 2022 and I had to take down in October. It was like early October. I had to take down. So we got hit with a heat wave, 116 degrees. And you guys like, I'm as a crow flies, I'm a 1,000 foot elevation, 900 plus. But I'm a half hour as a crow flies to Pacific Ocean. It was 116. It was a degree warmer here than it was at my employee's house in North Las Vegas. And I had to take down early. I mean, literally, like you guys know, you just got to keep an eye on clear, cream, brown. And I'm like, literally, I saw, I kid you not, like my trichomes just like flipped. Like
went right to amber
that quick, huh? I'm like, I got to take down. And you know, some are like, oh, a third amber, a quarter amber. Again, everyone. Dep it the last 24 hours. Like, I don't get it, but I do know when my shit's flipping and when it's going to go too right. Like, yeah, you know, I grow citrus and other stuff too. I'm very aware of that fine line between good and nope, a little too good, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd get white. I've dealt with more bud rocks. We get bud worms out here, the little moths. So, and they're hard even when you net, like you just can't keep them at bay. But same thing, yeah, a little powdery mildew. It just sits out there a little too long on the vine, you know? So
crazy.
Everywhere.
Yeah, very crazy.
Earl, you got a good one here. This is a good one. I can't wait. I want to see his answer on this one. I've been waiting on this question all show.
So is US the king of cannabis? Or I know a lot of people want to say, especially if you talked about hash, would probably want to say that, but what do you think traveling around, or at least melt hash like dabs, you know, regular hash, you know,
the rest of the old school hash. I mean, like, are you talking dry sift or bubble, right? Yeah. I mean, when you get into some of the old school stuff, then hands down, like you guys know where the hash, you know, Weed Man said Morocco. Like we all know that.
I used to get a lot of Jamaican hash too back in the 90s. It was wonderful. Black Jamaican opium hash. It was wow. It was amazing. I made a lot of money on that too. Nice. It was delicious. Jeez. Killed your fucking lungs though after you smoked it so much, but boy, was it good.
Jeez. Yeah, I'd say, you know, we're as far as, and I tell people this, you know, we're still the king as far as craft and culture. A lot of people, it's all eyes on, no matter what you're doing. If you're doing outdoor, you know, light depth, mixed light, indoor, hydro, aqua. I mean, no matter how you're growing, it seems a lot of people look and have their eyes on what's going on in the States. You know, second place, I would give it to Europe. I mean, as far as like what's going on in the hot spot, because those guys, again, it's mostly the Spaniards, but I've got a few geneticists out there, man. The stuff that they're coming up with and cooking up with is very competitive with what, and thankfully in recent years, and you know, Ed Rosenthal did this years ago, originally with Amsterdam. And this is all in the history, Mossy Giant. He's a dope artist, buddy of mine, Peter, but he did the history of, you know, the weed scene in Amsterdam, and he gave a solid nod to some of the gens that came over from this side of the pond back in the 80s and 90s and really kind of sparking that whole community to the next level. But yeah, it's definitely, I'd say we're still the epicenter, but the problem is when it comes to legalization, right? Because now when you look at it from a legalization standpoint, we're as far behind with legalization as we are with education. Right. You guys know, like on a global scale, I'm not saying we're all stupid bunch of country bumpkins, but, you know, I remember dating a gal from South Africa and like she was smart as a whip. I mean, like what she was learning in high school, we were learning in college, you know, like that kind of caliber. And you get that most of Europe, and it's free education. So people continue on with it. So, but anyway, tangent, we're falling further and further behind. And you guys heard how Germany legalized, you know, it's just been a few weeks. And we knew it was so stoked, man. It came down to the final vote because they have parliament, but obviously there's still there's those stop gaps, and it was a 60-40 split on the final decision, which was awesome. And like I don't think Americans and unfortunately I don't think our government recognizes how much of an impact that can make on us as being that proverbial king of cannabis, right? So Germany is the fifth largest GDP in the world. They've got over 80 million population, which you might say that's not a lot. That's just two Californians or two Californias combined, you know, or maybe three Canadas. But it's not the but that is the largest population in Europe. And Germany right now is the leader of the EU. So all of a sudden, like Switzerland is like, okay, maybe it's time for us to move forward. France is like, maybe we come off the beta program and launch our full-fledged program.
Don't they usually say when Germany does something medically wise or law wise, usually most of the other European countries follow what Germany does? And then two, isn't Germany the largest importer of cannabis right now too?
Yes.
From what I read, they're fucking just importing from everybody.
Yeah,
you know
they are. I've got South Africans, Australians, Colombians, Canadians, and Portuguese friends that are importing into Germany.
Dang.
Just medical. Yeah. Yeah. There's only a handful of licenses, and one of them are actually in Germany, and only in one of them are held by a Canadian, you know? So Germany definitely is an influence. Thankfully, not everybody takes what they do verbatim, and I'm glad they don't, because Germany is a little too structured, and some of the rules, you guys heard that. That was some of the back and forth, was some of the rules and regulations around it, and they end up shifting it to being a little bit more on the consumer-centric side, a little bit more on the homegrown, the private side. Versus like being over, because when they came out with medical, I'll give you an example. Misha Knott, who's one of the biggest influencers out there, great guy. He was literally one of the first patients in the German medical program. So he explained to me, he's like, Lance, my medical is not your medical back home in California. It's not, I got glaucoma and you do a video chat for 30 seconds for a card. He's like, I have to literally apply. And he had to pressure the government because he has a disability where he explained to the government's like, we're not going to pay for your cannabis, let alone your authorized device for consumption. So you guys know that's a Mighty, the little Mighties, right? The dryer vape. And so he went back to me and said, here's what it costs for me to collect on for you to pay for my unemployment and all the rest of it. And this is what it would cost for my medicine. And I can go back to work and contribute with taxes. And they said, okay, we'll do the medicine. What he gets for medicine, if they recommend, let's just say it's a super silver haze. If that's what the doctor says, those are the attributes that are beneficial for your condition. If he goes to the pharmacy and they don't have super silver haze, he doesn't get his medicine.
Oh,
So all of a sudden, like, think about something like RSO. We can make RSO. We make Rick Simpson from whatever cultivar. It's how you produce it and process it, not necessarily that core. And then think about that in Germany. Like, well, they're going to force you into, well, then what genetics make the proper RSO, not, oh, you can make RSO out of everything. So that's what I am a little worried about, is that some people will take a literal page out of Germany's book. But it does seem to prove that they're not being quite as German about adult legalization, you know? But yeah, but right now we're still kings, but if we don't get our shit together on a federal level, latest Pew data says that 80% of the population in this country is pro cannabis on some level or another, thinks we should legalize it. So since it's a nonpartisan topic, you know, the government doesn't want to do anything with it. They like those hot topics to deal with. So crazy.
Yep. One day, maybe. So what's coming up, man? Are you doing anything? Got any trips planned? Any events coming up or anything?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, 420 right around the corner. Staying local for that. Heading back over to Europe. Going to be doing CB Club. Friend Ben, who puts on Canna Trade out of Zurich. He does this kind of traveling show where he gets guys together. So doing CB Club in Amsterdam. That's going to be on June 10th. And then there's also Green Tech going on out there, a little bit more on the agricultural side, you know, of things, but still all cannabis. That's going on for a few days, and then heading up from Amsterdam to Mary Jane in Berlin. That'll be the big show. That's the next big one. So I'm off the road for like a month and a half, which is epic. That's something nice. Never happens. Yeah. So that's the big thing. And then, yeah, as far as some stuff cooking, man, we dropped, I don't know if I shared with you guys last time, and if you know anyone that runs packs, I'm more than happy to send you some samples or a roll to try out. But since we caught up last, we dropped our SafeVac product, which is super dope. So we had guys that wanted to be able to transport things more discreetly or need to take up less space, say. And so we came up with a vacuum seal solution. So essentially this bag, it's like anything else you can put into your food saver. But you can actually put your bud in here, vacuum seal it, and it will still cure in transit or in storage. So, obviously the bag expands a little bit. It's still 100% sealed though. And it takes up so much less space than running like a standard pound bag or 2 or 5 pound bag. So we drop that. And then the other thing, just a little insider secret for you guys. We haven't officially announced it, but we got a new fresh frozen solution coming out that's next level. Absolutely next level. Like, I like what we have now, but we want something that's a little more cognizant of not just how much moisture the seller wants in the biomass, but how much moisture the processor wants. Because that's a very sensitive topic, right? You know, moisture equals weight. You know, so what is it? Water is almost 8 pounds a gallon. So you start doing the math, and so you don't want flour that's got too much of that bound water in it. So this product's pretty sick for that. So looking forward to dropping that here in the next month or so.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll send you guys in our care package. These are the fun things, man. We've got, you know, we're a technology company, and so we're constantly trying to come up with stuff. But we're listening to you guys, like we're listening to audience and friends, like, hey, I love your product, but I'd love to be able to cure my bud while I'm sending it across the country. Hey, we can come up with a technology for that.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah.
Definitely.
So I met a couple of your reps here in Chicago at an event that we were at, and I apologize, I can't remember their name. It was quick.
Luke,
they
had their Chris.
Yes, thank you. They had their booth set up, and then my wife had Eight Decades booth set up, and here's me just stuffing joints. Yeah, it was an event. So we set up our booth where it's an experience booth. You come over our booth, there's the Eight Decades gear and all that, the smoke set and that stuff. And then there's a MySpace where we promote the podcast, and then you can use the smoke set, roll your own joint with it, whatever, and then use Big Earl's weed because he sponsors the table, or I usually have maybe another grower sponsor the table. And then there's me. And then would you want to roll your own, or you want me to roll for you, or do you want to try the Volcano? So they came over to the table and I gave them a Volcano, and then I'm like, here, there's a bag. Here's a bag, big girl. And then I told them I had you on the show. So nice. Very nice. Their table looked banging. They knew their shit. very nice guys. So I just want to let you know they are working here in Illinois. Nice. So I got their back.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, Chris and Luke are a good crew. Luke's super heady, man. Like he's one of those guys. You know, we compliment each other because he runs with the young guns with the younger trapper stuff, and I'm hanging out with the old heads out west here. And so, but stoked to hear that, man. And I love you bringing up the volcano, dude. You brought that up on one of your other shows.
Mm-hmm.
Do not underestimate the volcano. I mean, that thing, it is absolutely awesome. Like, and again, like you guys saw, and I shared with you, obviously after what happened with Spanibus, was taking a smoke break, was doing edibles, but dry herb vape for the win, man. It is mm-hmm. so, and you can taste the terps. It's trippy. For anyone that hasn't dry herb vape before, rather be out of a volcano or be out of, you know, a Loki or a Da Vinci or a G-Pen, whatever. Like, don't be scared. Like, it's really trippy because most of them, I can adjust the temp. Not on this one I'm running. The Firefly is nice. This thing's like the Apple phone of dryer vapes. But my G-Pen for the win, because I can dial in the exact, start out like 160 to burn off the terps, bump it up to 200 to get all the cannabinoids. But if anyone hasn't tried dryer vaporizing, absolute game changer, because you will taste the terps that Earl spent all that time and energy making sure remained and obviously evolved and matured in the process of making that flower. So
it's a lot of fun doing the I finally got it back. When I worked for the brewery, we used to bring it out and do our own bags with flower in it. But then we would also like grind up hops.
So you would get
the taste, whatever beer we were featuring, we'd bring the hops out, like Citra hops or, you know, something like that. And you'd be able to smell the hop. You can't smoke it, you know, but we would let you smell it. So you would understand it. Very low temp. All you want is the smell of the terpenes, the humulene, and the flavor you're going to get. But then we would rip bags of fucking flour behind. Oh yeah. Give us a minute. Oh yeah. I don't even want supposed to smoke that. Oh no, we're just smelling it. But it's a different flavor profile. You're getting high. I keep mine at like 600, you know, 550. I want people to taste it. I'm like, you're going to get high. Don't get me wrong. This is, and you know what? It's a different experience for you to learn. You can get a joint, but you're losing some of that terp profile when you smoke a joint. You get burning some of that out because you're burning it hot. Lower temp, man. Get that flavor. Get that, what it's all about. And bigger, oh man, I was doing the peanut butter breath at Brunch of Stoners on Sunday. Dude, we're blowing people. Because I let people look at the bud. You know what we're going to, it's already ground, but I already have buds of it too. Look at the bud, take a look at what it looks like. Look at it, experience, smell it, loaf, give it a little taste, a little, you know, and then smell the jar. And then I open the jar up where it's all ground and then you're getting that aromatics, just a blast in your fucking face. And then Mrs. Weedman or myself, we explain the vaporization process and why it's such a different, and then I'm like, you get to finish that bag or share it around. I don't care. That bag is yours.
Man, one of the first times that I did communal, shout out to Tony Balboa. Balboa family's got a coffee shop in Amsterdam, maybe, I don't know, quarter kilometer from Central. So shout out to him. But Tony does shows. He does live shows and people be waiting for months to get out. Like literally, I remember we were sitting in, you know, he'd always set up at that time before he had his own coffee shop. He'd find a coffee shop to set up. And there was like a couple of Germans that were across the room from us. These giddy kids, you know, these 20 something kids are so excited to be able that they were able to make it on the show. There was some guy next to me that was growing up in Napa. My other buddy, Nate, was with me from Australia. There's a few from, I want to say Switzerland, and then a few from Spain. And to your point, just passing he had three different cultivars. What do you guys want to start with? All of it was being filmed. It was all live, IG, YouTube and stuff. And then if you want a whole bag yourself, or do you want a half a bag with your buddy, or you want to pass it around?
Yeah.
But it was like such a cool experience, man. Cause to your point, you could really take, and he went through that like as like a sommelier would, like, this is what it's going to be, a little more piney. So it's going to smell a little more earthy and outdoorsy, you know?
I usually carry like 6 to 8 strains with me when we go in my cooler and just let people let them. I always say your nose knows, like Toucan
Sam.
Your
nose knows.
Like Toucan Sam says, follow your nose. It always knows, right? And that's how you actually taste through your olfactory gland. I tell people, you got 6 strains or 8 strains to choose from. Let me know what your body. I don't need to tell you what your body wants. I know what my fucking body wants, you know? Yeah. And it's amazing watching people experience what weed should be, not just grab a joint and get high. I try to give them that, like, learn what your body wants, because you're going to find something in there. You're like, hey, what's this strain? Oh, this is this strain grown by my buddy Big Earl. You can get his genetics on fucking, you know, go check him out, you know, if you're a home grower too. So it's just amazing. I have had some other guys now that are now joining the table, you know, that are now participating and sponsoring the table, letting their genetics come out. It's amazing to watch people's faces when they see the whole, because you can't fucking see shit here in Illinois till you take it home. And that's 99.9% of the time, it's fucking dried, fucking over fucking cured, just shit. It turns to dust when you don't get the smell of it.
Yeah, you don't need a grinder.
You don't. So it's just like the way to go about people learning, like you said, education, how far behind we are in education. That, it to me, is just, I love doing that. That's like my favorite part of the whole thing, is just like watching people.
Education.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not only like growing, but like actually consuming, like the education behind the different consumptions and the different, like all of it.
And this in conventional, I mean, that's a good example. Like you said, when you're explaining it, Mr. Weedman, like, you know, when you incinerate it, it does this, but when you conventionally heat it in a quartz or any other, like, this is what happens. You're actually heating up all these oils that releases these terpenes and these cannabinoids, and then the flavor and the experience. And it's not the smoke, because the smoke really dilutes the taste, in my opinion, you know. Mm-hmm. Never mind the guys who spool that, you know, throwing in tobacco and just tainting the whole thing. I'm a purist, but man, like you said,
you like, don't like it, the spliff. You don't like it. No.
That's exactly it. Some guys are so good over there, they can roll up with one hand. They're like, I'm like, Jesus, man. Got me beat. But yeah, it's good you guys are educated, because that's true. I mean, a lot of people, oh no, smoking's bad for you. You don't have to smoke it. We talked about tinctures earlier. I've got one. You put a few drops under the tongue, 15 minutes, boom. Like, phew, you're set, you know?
Yeah. So, it's amazing stuff.
I went to the doctor not long ago, right? And I'm open about all my weed use. I don't know. I don't care about being open, just in case it's like, oh, this is a reason for this or that. I don't know. But he's like, oh, I may just suggest you eat edibles and don't smoke, is what he said to me. And it was like, I didn't say shit, right? But it's like, man, you must not know shit. Like how you don't know the different things that I might be smoking for.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're saying eat edibles. There was no distinction between distillate and full spectrum hash or any differential. And I get it. It is what it is. But it's like, dude, that might not be the best call for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
he's probably thinking, I thought a lot of doctors, I look at it, I sat next to one on a panel, and, you know, your uptake is upwards of 40% when you smoke, which is great. But like, you made a valid point. He also explained that your uptake's only 4-6% of all THC when you consume it as an edible, not as a tincture, not as transdermal, like specifically through, you know, through your kidneys, through your livers. But also on a molecular level, it's changing. You know, you've got a whole other THC that's coming in the mix there. And so that's the kind of stuff that, to your point, depending on what you're trying to remedy. I mean, take an example, Tommy Chong, man, rectal cancer? And he's using suppositories. Makes total sense. Like that in that instance, that's a way, you know, was he trying to get high? No, he's trying to get healthy. Like he was trying to live, man.
So the state of Alabama, will be okay, because that's all the weed they can get right now is suppositories, which is in their law. They can't get no flower. So Alabama and Tommy Chong, you're good. Bama. You're fucking good, man. Roll Tide.
Oh my god, I was Minnesota too, man. Flowerless state, Florida, flowerless state. Like what? Who wasn't the right medical patient to tell him that you really have to have the whole flower in
order. I love Alabama. We have a big following down there. I love you. I don't make fun of the burner stoners and potheads. I make fun of their laws, because it's just fucking ridiculous.
That's where the legal weed, that's where the Bama Bush comes from, man. That Bama Ditch weed comes from that university down there, that there's people that technically have the original medical licenses that get that shit in the mail from the government. Insane. Yep. If that's not a story you got, Google that stuff, man. I'm getting just straight up old head. It's kicking it. That edible's kicking it, obviously.
There you go. I love it. Oh, Lance, man, I so missed you, and I'm so glad you came back on for Burp in the Bag, man.
For sure.
It's been great. Plug away, brother. Where can we find you?
Yeah, definitely. So you can always find me 805 Lance on the social handles. Hit me up anytime. Always an open book, as those on the, you know, on this have probably figured out, like, definitely outgoing, easygoing guy. Love meeting new people in the community. For Grove Bags, grovebags.com. Definitely hook you up. We're doing a free shipping on 420. Just a little plug there. If we get this out in time for that. And then, yeah. And then Grow Bags on the handles too. We're always doing content. Dude, you guys, side note. So I'm like, we can't just do like one contest. Like in the past, no one contest. So we did Free Bag Friday for 7 consecutive days leading up to 420. So tomorrow's going to be the final. And I called up a few friends for prizes. Oh my gosh, man. We got like Levo machines. We got like, I mean, laser igniters for your bongs, just like Peacemaker, dab cubes, sick prizes. So we're always doing fun stuff. So we're doing contests, competitions. The next big one we're going to be doing for 7/10.
Perfect. That one, because this won't be out for 420, unfortunately.
I know. I figured we'd be missing it.
But plug your 7/10 one, please. Coming up soon. Yeah. Go ahead.
The 7/10 one definitely coming up. We're going to do another one where we're going to give that free bag Friday. Just tons of free product from us. But we're going to go even bigger. Like, I want to get more dab cubes. If you guys haven't seen the dab cubes from Peacemaker, freaking really quick, high silicone material. So if you've ever seen like the silicone pipes, I've got one somewhere around here. Great for snowboarding, for surfing. You stash it in your pocket. Don't worry about smashing. It's got a cap, so you can pre-bowl it, load it up, and go. But they've got this dab cube that you can travel with, and it all collapses within itself. So it's got a glass snapper. It's got it's got a you know, metal piece, but like all that all goes inside of it, and then you put a cap in, and it's fully sealed. It's freaking sick, dude. So stuff like that that we're going to be giving away for sure during the 7/10 contest.
That's right.
And we'd love for you guys to get involved too. Make sure you guys do a shout out and even give you guys some prizes to give away on your show.
Hell yeah, I like that. I love doing that stuff, man. I want one of those little fucking cubes. Cool. Fucking
they're wicked.
Rubik's.
Now you got to Google it. Peacemaker cube. Love it too.
Oh, shit. So. I love it. Lance, my friend, thank you so much for smoking with us. The smoke session was great. I appreciate you coming back. We'll have to maybe talk about getting you back for a roundtable discussion with somebody.
That'd be a lot of fun
to get you back up, maybe in the maybe in the fall, and have you back. But before we go, big girl, man. Yeah. Dude, I've been growing. Right. Back. Finally got two females, baby. You want to know why I finally got some two female plants? Finally,
you got them tested.
No, Earl, you know why. What is the reason why I got two females? What is the secret ingredient I've been using to get those two females?
I'm guessing that you did a 50-50 blend of cow mag and distilled water.
Really?
Sprayed them.
I got it, Earl. Two females because of the cow mag. Everybody out there in the world, don't forget the cow mag. Peace. Check out our cannabis lifestyle brand online at 8decades.com. Our custom smokes and accessories are perfect for your coffee table, bedroom nightstand, or kitchen counter. They're designed for you to show them off. The canna community is also loving our hemp and cotton blend t-shirts, sweatshirts, scarves, and hats, finished off with our 8decades logo. We've got some awesome, long-lasting goods that will be your favorite for years to come. 8decades, because a 9th decade of cannabis prohibition isn't acceptable.